Thought from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. Believers and authority. I really mean, of course, believers and authorities. I'm thinking in terms, as Peter is here, of what Paul will set out in Romans 13. Namely, how do believers react? How do they live their lives with the authorities in human society? The king, presidents, governors, governments, magistrates, the lawful ruling powers. And this is what Peter is dealing with. Why is he dealing with it? Well, it would seem it must have been a problem for these early believers. Here they are, called out from the world, separated from the world. They come to see the evil of the world, and now they have to live as citizens in two worlds. They live in the ecclesia, the people of God in the new covenant, but they're also alive in this world. And Peter is dealing with their progressive sanctification, how they live good lives amongst the pagans in which they find themselves, the cultures in which they inhabit. They're strangers, they're foreigners, they're rejected, they're despised, they're persecuted, but how should they go on? And this is what Peter says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. We'll leave it there. Come back to the what Peter goes on to say in another discourse. So what is the role of these authorities, these governments, these magistrates, these kings, these presidents? To punish wrong and to commend the right. This is what the authorities are there for. Now, authorities have not always stuck to their last. With the coming of Christendom and the mixing together of church and state, very often the church takes up the role of politics and government, and the state takes up the role of morals and laws and so on. And there's been this complete muddle between church and state. That's one of the consequences, one of the spin-offs of Christendom. And it complicates things for us in our generation now. The things get mixed up. Now, what if this exercise of authority by the lawful powers breaks down, as it quite often does? Is resistance to the authority always wrong? Is obedience to the authority, whatever the rule, is that always commanded of us? Well, as believers, we know Acts 4:18-20, Acts 5:28-29, if on any occasion these lawful authorities, instead of punishing the wrong and commending the right, as they should be doing, they start interfering and make commands and rules and governance which the believer cannot in all honesty obey because they break Scripture, because they contradict the plain word of God, the apostles give us the answer. Whether it's right in the eyes of God to obey you rather than God, obey man rather than God, then you must judge. But we, as for our part, we can do nothing but obey God. But in general, when not breaking Scripture, obedience is the norm. These are not human ordinances, of course. They have human powers and human authorities and human rule and cultural this and that. But fundamentally, God is in control. They're instituted among men, of course amongst men, but they're instituted by God. And we, brothers and sisters, must do what we can to submit as believers for the Lord's sake. That's the truth here. That's the basis. For the Lord's sake. And show by our willing submission to the rules of men, unless they command us to break Scripture, then we show that we are an obedient people. And so commend the gospel and glorify God by our lives. That's part of our progressive sanctification. May God give us grace to to obey these things as set out in 1 Peter 2, Romans 13, and so on. May we heed God's word and act upon it. Amen.